Hey everyone, this is Brian Wampler with another episode of the Chasing Tone Podcast, the podcast about guitars, amps, and effects, as well as, well, it's mostly off topic. Joining me today again is Blake Weiland from the Tone Mob. You all know who he is. We all love him. Blake, how you doing?
I am splendiferous. I am just wonderful.
So, full disclosure here. Blake and I have been talking for a while, as we normally do before we record these podcasts. And I asked Blake, I said, Blake, do you feel like the guitar podcast is dying? Like, it's just, does it seem like it's just withering away in the wind? Leaves rustling, blowing away? And he brought up a good theory.
Yeah.
We need more people that like guitar gear to listen to podcasts in general.
Yeah, I just think what we have, all of the people that like guitar gear and stuff that also listen to podcasts, I think we've hit the peak where we have all of those people
peak
listening
podcast.
To either, you know, listening to one of the, I don't know, what did you say? There's probably like five top like guitar based podcasts, I would guess, somewhere in that ballpark.
I haven't looked at the numbers, but that's probably a good round number. Yeah,
there are more than that, but I would say as far as like from a download, strictly a downloads perspective, not quality or anything, especially considering this show might be in there.
That's exactly. That, just because you have lower numbers does not mean you have a worse podcast. No.
That's not what I'm saying. But as far as like, as far as what people tune into on the regular, it's probably like, I don't know, between 5 and 7. I don't know. Just going off the top of my head. I think we have everyone that listens to podcasts that also likes guitar gear is tuned into one of those shows. What we need is for you to tell your friends who don't listen to podcasts about the podcast that you like. That's what you should do. That's the ticker. And it might take several times. So for me, in my own experience, it took several times of my friend Leon telling me, you need to listen to Chasing Tone before I ever tuned in. It took him like 3 or 4 times. Like, well, are you listening to Chasing Tone yet? And I was like, no, what? Like, why would I want to listen to that? And he's like, just tune in and you'll see. And then, you know, fast forward however many years later, and here I am.
So now Leon's like, you jerk.
Right. He's like, I don't want to listen to you more. Like, I get enough of you.
Exactly. Now I got to listen to your dumb voice on here.
Yeah, exactly. It takes several times sometimes.
Did you start listening to Chasing Tone before you started Tone Mob?
Yes. Yep.
So one could say that Chasing Tone influenced you to create the Tone Mob empire.
100%.
It was a ball.
100%. No, it absolutely did. Because I looked at what was there, like, and I was like,
if
there
this
are no-
guy can do it, I surely can. Because he sucks.
Well, I'm more just thinking I really enjoyed the show, and I was thinking like, no one's doing interviews. Like there really weren't anybody doing interviews in the guitar space, and so that's what I started doing. I'd never interviewed anyone before that, but I thought I think I can talk to people. That's really what it is. And I think we're actually going to, one thing I didn't get to bring up to you when we were talking, because we were like, wait, save this for the podcast. I think we're going to see a pretty big surge soon, mainly because I've been talking to some bigger outlets about, hey, why have you never wrote a piece on guitar podcasts?
Yeah.
And trying to talk them into doing a little bit of promo for, yours truly and you.
So we'll what see did what they happens. Say? I'm curious to hear this. So what did these content generators say? How come they don't talk about gear podcasts more?
Well, I don't know why. And then like generally what it comes up to is like, oh, well, we never really thought about it.
We're always looking for content, but not that much.
Right. Like we never really thought about it. And it's like, well, I mean, you listen to it. Like, we have people who listen to this show and listen to my show that work at some pretty big entities in this industry. Yeah. And it is kind of funny that we've largely been kind of ignored. Now, I'm not saying that in a, like a bratty, like pay attention to me way. It's just like,
I can't believe people don't listen to us.
Like, yeah. Have you ever heard of, you know, I don't know who I should say, XYZ writing an article on the guitar podcasts and the communities that are around them? Because they're not small.
Not really. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know just myself, I've Googled best gear podcasts 2020 or something. And there's a few blog sites or even regular websites with blogs that have mentioned gear podcasts, but not really in depth and not all that often. You know, it seems like there's a whole type of content there that just isn't being talked about.
Well, in that whole, usually when I do that same search, it really seems like it's mostly blogs that are trying to just get search results. They don't actually, because they'll be like best guitar podcasts, and you'll look at the list and it's like, that's all of them. So all of them are the best. Like, because there's a lot. There's a ton. You know, when I said like the top 5 to 7, I was more just speaking from downloads and reviews perspective, but like there are more than that. And it's just funny to see those lists where it's like, yes, they're all the best. So you found every guitar podcast and you were just trying to SEO your way to the top of the Google search rankings for some reason. Like, I don't know why.
I saw, it was in the podcast app on the iPhone that, when I typed in the search bar, it's popped up a message that said something along the lines of, you can now search for episodes with your search phrase. And this happened like the other day. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I thought you always could. Like, how is this not a thing 5 years ago? I mean, if I'm searching for Pete Thorne, of course I want every podcast with Pete Thorne in it. You know what I mean? I don't want Pete's really go ahead.
The iTunes search is garbage.
it's terrible.
It's hot garbage. So terrible. Like I just searched for somebody who's been on my show, and like knowing that he hasn't done all that many podcasts, and the one other one that I know he's done popped up, and mine was like down the list in between a bunch of podcasts that I know that he's never been on before. Like, it doesn't make any sense. The search on Apple needs to do something. They've been sitting on this gold mine of podcasts forever and they've never done anything with it, and Spotify is going to take their lunch.
Well, I was gonna say, I think that's why Spotify is now in place to really kind of take over podcasts.
You know? It's still a very small segment of the listener base for me, but it's growing faster than any other section. And I have to imagine that it's taking away directly from iTunes, because that one's shrinking and Spotify is growing and the rest are kind of remaining the same.
Yeah.
So Apple better do something. But you think about it. They have like, they are the podcast place. They are the place that named podcasts, basically, because it, you know, remember the iPod, everybody. Right.
that's why podcasts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so, but they have like the worst app, which doesn't make any sense. And the worst search, yet they're the top dogs. I mean, Spotify is going to get them if they don't do something. Apple, are you listening to this?
If you, I guess it goes to show, if you create a platform, I'm sorry, if you create a piece of hardware with a platform and then just put a piece of software on it that's already installed, a lot of people won't really deviate from that. Meaning that podcast app on the iPhone that even I still use, I actually use a couple of them, but that's, I separate things. Like business podcasts are on one type of application. Gear podcasts are on a different application. I don't ask me why, Blake. I just do it that way. It's just easier.
I kind of do the same thing. Not exactly, but kind of. I get it.
It's just easier for me. It's like I use Firefox for one login that's pertaining to Wampler pedal stuff. I use Chrome for a different login that's pertaining more to like DIY mod stuff, because, you know, I got the Mod Your Own Pedals website thing as well, right? So it's not that I can't put them both on the same browser. It's just easier for me to separate my brain.
No, I get it. I like I said, I kind of do the same thing. But you're right. I still use the Apple one. Even though I just told everyone how horrible I think it is, I still use it occasionally because it's just there.
It's fascinating that we were talking about how it seems like podcasts that are kind of strictly about guitar gear don't get the ears as much as podcasts where can go anywhere, you know?
Yeah, it does seem to be the case. It's I don't know, you know, I don't know if that's 100% fact, but it does seem like ones that, I don't know, ones that flow like most podcasts flow, where it's just conversation. There's maybe a centering kind of reason what they're together, but they occasionally talk about Star Trek or something else. Like, it seems to, they seem to.
Did you say
that.
Star Trek or Star Trek?
Trek.
Oh, I think I said Star Trek.
Well, like, if I did, I didn't mean to.
I was just going to make fun of you. It's okay, Blake. It's all right.
I'm not a huge Trekkie, but I feel like I'm maybe a big enough one to not have done that. But then again, I say dumb things all the time.
Well, I'm not a, this is, I'm sad to admit, but I'm really not a fan of Star Trek. You know,
like,
how
none of
that
them?
Is? I really, yeah, none of them. I love Star Wars. Well, I love all the George Lucas Star Wars.
All of them?
I really do, yeah. I know that's, I know. And I literally just lost listeners and customers because of that statement.
Why would you say something so brave?
I don't make the rules. I'm just answering honestly.
Have you watched Rogue One?
Rogue One. That's, is that number seven or eight?
It's not technically, it's not technically part of the main series, but it's a Star Wars movie.
Was that the first one after George Lucas?
No. Okay. I think it was the second one. I can't remember. Okay. You should watch Rogue One.
I watched the first one after George Lucas, and then I quit.
You need to watch Rogue One. I think it's up there with Empire, personally. It's really good.
No. Don't.
For real. For real.
This podcast is over.
Oh, no. You've never seen it. It's really good. I think a lot of people who hate the new Star Wars, I don't know. I haven't personally spoken with anyone that didn't enjoy Rogue One. One's really good.
I'll have to check that out. Okay. You've got me talked into. I like Star Wars enough that I will check out Rogue One.
I think you will be very pleasantly surprised.
First one without George Lucas, I was about ready to throw my popcorn at the screen. I would have too, but it was good. It had a lot of butter in it. Big bag. It was awesome. You know?
So anyway, all that to say, no, I think we're kind of on the cusp of another, for me, at least what I've seen is things tend to go in spurts for my podcast. So like, it'll be kind of tick along at the same pace for a long time, and then it'll make a big jump. And it'll kind of tick along at the same pace, and then make another big jump. And I think we're on the cusp of like getting more listeners. That's just my personal take on it.
I think so. I mean, with Joe Rogan doing the Spotify deal, maybe that's going to bring a whole new set of people that listen to podcasts.
I think it was last year, somewhere around that ballpark. I'm maybe getting the numbers confused in my head, but it was somewhere around like 60% of Americans had listened to a podcast or were regular podcast listeners. What that tells me is we got 40%. Like, there's going to be more people that come from that 40% and start listening to podcasts. It seems inevitable.
I wonder what percentage of the audience that plays guitar and uses guitar pedals has no interest in talking about gear. I mean, because we know there's a lot of people that play guitar that love playing guitar, and they, you know, pedals are just fine with them, but they would never go on Facebook or any sort of forum and talk about pedals. Like, that's just not their thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if, I'm wondering what percentage that crosses over to in podcast land.
I don't know. I have to imagine that it's similar to guitar magazines in a percentage. You know, I don't think that that same person that you just described is probably also not going to go to Premier Guitar's website either. Most likely.
True. Right.
So I have to imagine there's some level of crossover there. And those people have definitely always existed, like where they really enjoy the instrument and they play, you know, gigs on the weekends and they like to buy a new guitar every couple of years, but they definitely don't participate in any of the community stuff just because it's just not their thing.
Yep. Yeah, I can understand. I mean, there was a time in my life, believe it or not, where I liked gear, but I didn't really, that wasn't my focus. I was trying to be, in a Pearl Jam tribute band. And not really a tribute band. By that, I mean, I was in high school and I was trying to copy Pearl Jam. You know?
Mm-hmm.
and so I was working on my pentatonic licks, Blick. Pentatonic licks, Blake. Oh, man.
No, I mean, there's definitely, I think we've talked about this as a subject of the podcast in the past, where there's a time where you become a gear guy.
Yes.
And it's not very often that people go backwards. Sometimes it happens, but once you become a gear enthusiast, it seems like you're kind of stuck. You don't really go back to not caring about
it. Right. Your eyes can never unsee that in a way.
Yes.
You know, it's like I can never not know about different textures of overdrive, you know?
No, can't. It's impossible. And I think a lot of it for me was driven by the fact that, like, my dad was a guitar player. He's actually very much the one we were just describing. He likes to get a new guitar every couple of years. He really enjoys his instruments, but he's not in any forums. He listens to my podcast occasionally because I'm his son, and that's it. Like, that's his level of participation in the gear world.
Yeah. I've got a friend I played in a band with, 2008 or so, 2009. So I was in, you know, in the pedal game back then, of course, just getting started, but was still doing it. And I recall he was a great player. Jeff's his name. He's a great player and he was using a TC Electronics. G system, I think is what they're called. So it's a little bit older of a device for that time. Like, it wasn't the hip thing to use at that time. And I remember talking because, you know, at this point, I'm like, well, everybody knows about boutique stuff, right? Which was the term we used back in 2008 or 2009. And like, everybody knows about this. How come you're not using the latest, Catalin bread pedal or whatever? And he's just like, I don't know. This works for me. Why? Like, I don't really have a desire to go buy a bunch of stuff. This works. Sounds good. I just want to play.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense.
But Jeff, you don't understand. You've got to search for tone. How am I going
to
make a living if you don't?
Jeff, please search for tone. Search for the tone, man.
Oh,
no, it's just a different, you know, guitar attracts all kinds of different people and not all of them are going to deep dive into the different specifics on, magnets and their pickups and whatnot. And
yeah,
that's fine. And that's fine. In fact, I would argue that probably most players don't do that. That's my guess.
Probably so.
A lot of people do, but probably not all of them. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's a dangerous, slippery slope. Once you get into pedals, gear.
There was someone in the Wampler Tone group that had posted something like, what's the pedal that ended your search for tone? And I was like, that's why we're here. that's like going into, a group of alcoholics and asking which drink was the one that made you stop. That's why we're here. There is no end.
Yeah, which one made you quit? Like, well, that's not how this works.
Right.
And you, that's the thing is, when you stick around the community for a long time, you see people go through these phases, and you yourself will go through phases too, where it's like, I'm kind of done buying gear. I don't find anything all that exciting anymore. I'm good with this setup. And that lasts
absolutely
for like maybe a couple months at best. And then we're right back at it. Like, oh, but did you see this new analog delay? Oh, baby, listen to those edge tones.
With me, it's dirt, man. Mm-hmm. I remember I got that. I was borrowing a SLO 100 Soldano amp that was the best amp in the world. Literally, I play that amp. I'm like, this is the best distortion I've ever heard. This is amazing.
Oh, man,
I can never beat this. I quit.
I want one of those.
So badly. Good. So I was just borrowing that for a different project I was working on, but that shall go unnamed in case anyone is wondering. But now, like, I was borrowing it, I give it back, and now I really want to get one. So bad. And that they have, I think, 30 waters to SLO 30s or something like that.
Yeah.
That are supposedly really good. I haven't played the 30s, but those 100 watts. There's just this bottom and this aggression and this, I don't even know what to call it. I usually call it balls, but that implies a sexual innuendo. And I don't really mean it that way. It's just like this that those 100 watts have. And it's so fantastic. You know, and volume wise, I usually run it into a two notes captor anyway. So I'm attenuating down, taking 20 dB off. So it's really not that loud. Like when I'm doing videos, it's not loud at all in here. But it sounds so good. So good, man.
I didn't know that the captor could take that kind of wattage.
Yeah, they take up to 100 watts.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was 50 for some reason. I don't know why I thought that.
Pretty sure it's 100. Yeah.
Well, clearly it worked. So
it did. Yeah, I think those were 100. Now, don't, in case I'm wrong, go check the Two Notes website. I don't work for Two Notes or anything like that. I just love their stuff. So don't, you know, if I'm wrong and you blow up your amp, that's on you. But check the website, I guess is what I'm saying. But anyways, I was going to say, I mentioned playing in a band earlier. I've been talking to some people that I used to play, I play with off and on. And I think we're going to form another band. Been thinking real seriously about it, but I'm doing it different this time, Blake. Now that, I mean, in our area, there's not really any venues for bands right now. And like, unless you're playing outside, and there's a few of those places, but for the most part, there's bands are kind of sitting at home right now here in Indiana, central Indiana. But I think we're going to get out and going to write some stuff. So we're going to do that. And we're also going to get back to the roots. I'm going back to my roots, Blake.
What are you doing?
90s country.
Oh man. That's my kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You're speaking my language.
Yep. Going back to it. So I tell them, I said, I'm cool with it, but I am not doing any of this, the newer stuff that you would hear on the radio in this area. Because it sounds like hot poo to me.
It is.
It lacks any. It could, like, all that music could kind of be from the same person and you would never know, you know, versus like in the 90s, like Brooks and Dunn sounded radically different than Neil McCoy, you know?
I just want to go on record because I don't know if I've said this publicly other than in the Tone Mob Facebook group, but Neon Moon is a perfect song. Just gonna throw that out there. I love that song.
It is a great song. And you know my dude Brent Mason played on that, right? That's his guitar work on that.
Oh man. Man, that song's so good. I'm gonna listen to it after we're done with this podcast because it's so good.
I would like to say you're welcome for that. That's my usual response whenever I'm being snidey and kind of sarcastic when someone mentions a song where the player used Wampler pedals, but didn't know Brent during that time. But no. Oddly enough, that 90s country stuff is what led me to stalking Brent, naming my son after Brent, and ended up forming a friendship with Brent. So that's a true story.
So what you're saying is stalking can work out well.
It can in certain situations. Yeah. I mean, if you want to meet your heroes, name your kids after them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. True story.
That'll work. It'll get them every time.
Just kind of guilt them into hanging out with you.
Like, so what do you think about releasing a signature overdrive? What do you think?
I mean, come on, after Brent. All, I did name my kid after you. You can't put your name on a pedal? What's the deal? Right.
I got to tell you something that you're probably going to, you're probably not going to like.
Uh-oh.
I didn't know who Brent Mason was until I heard you talking about him on the Chasing Tone podcast when I first started listening to it.
Blake.
And Blake. Now I'm like, oh, he's the guy doing all that stuff that I grew up listening to, quite literally.
Yes. Every time you heard a guitar lick and you're like, what the hell was that? That was mm-hmm. Brent Mason, my dude.
Yes, it was.
Blowing minds. Just freaking getting on it. You know what I mean?
I knew I liked it. I just didn't know who it was. So thanks for the somewhat introduction.
True story. I tried to name my daughter Paisley.
Didn't Amanda wasn't having that. I wasn't.
Well,
work.
This is my ex-wife.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Notice I said my ex-wife.
Because she wouldn't. I see why this relationship didn't work out.
So, okay. So that's partly true. I actually did. I really did want to name her Paisley. And my ex-wife did say, no, we're not naming her Paisley. But that's not why we got divorced. But anyways, this is not a marriage podcast. But yeah, can you imagine me having two kids with, you know, Paisley and Brent?
Yes, I can actually.
And then, you know, we could just go through my list of favorite guitars. Here's little Vi, you know.
we named this one Stevie.
Right, little Steve. I'd probably do it backwards. If I had another kid, I'd do like Vi, and the middle name would be Steve. You know, Vi Steve.
Vi Steve.
Wampler.
Vi that Steve. Way, that's not weird.
That's not weird at all. You know,
is this all just an attempt to get Steve Vi to hang out with you? Is that what you're trying to say?
Maybe. Would I be wrong with doing that? Is that wrong?
I want to hang out with Steve Vai.
Steve is so cool, man. He's such a good dude. Pete Thorne did a video, and let me look at it. Hold on. I actually have it pulled up on my browser because I like to listen to it several times a day right now. On April 14th, he did an interview with Steve Vai. Pete Thorne did an interview with Steve Vai, and it's so good. I'm actually going to try to talk to, I'm going to talk to Pete later today and see if I can use part of it for like a side episode of the podcast, because it's such a good interview, man. It's so good. Just the things that someone of Steve Vai's caliber, how do I explain this without sounding like a complete idiot? There's a lot of times where you meet someone that's famous and has a degree of success and they're kind of jerks, right? Mm-hmm. Steve Vai is the polar opposite. Like when he meets you, he always has nice things to say. He always wants to be as helpful as he can. He's just a good dude, just a good guy, and very humble. You know, he doesn't show off to make you feel, you know, like you're less than him or anything. Like there's none of that at all. He's just a good dude all around.
Man, that is cool. It's nice when your heroes end up living up to your lofty expectations.
Yeah. Yep. So if Amanda and I ever had another kid, it'd be Vi, regardless of whether it's boy or girl, be Vi. Vi Wampler.
Vi Wampler. And then you'd be like, Steve. Hey, Steve. Hey. Can we be best friends?
Steve, just put your name on this pedal. Come on. I named my kid after you, man.
Yeah, guilt him into it. That's what, it works.
All right,
good times.
Well, that's probably a good end for this week, eh?
That works for me.
Just think about that. If anybody out there is going to name their child anytime soon, maybe you got a child on the way, and you're like, "What should I name it?" Vi's a good one. That's a good name. Mm-hmm. Or Brian. Brian's a good name as well.
Brian. Blake, try to pick something.
Blake,
else.
Not so much. Not so yeah. much, Blake. Not,
yeah, pick a different name. Pick a different name. I have so many Brians in my phone. Don't pick Brian. I have 30 Brians in my phone, and we need less Brians.
What?
I have so many Brians in my phone. It's hilarious.
You could just call me Womp Man or something like that.
That yeah. might help. Yeah. Womp Man 7.
Womp Man 7.
Womp Cat. Or whatever.
Womp Cat. There you go. Yep. All right. So thank you for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@womplerpedals.com. That goes straight to me. If you have a question for Blake, you can email info@tonemob.com. Make sure you check out his podcast. It's called Tone Mob, in case you weren't aware of that. You probably should be by now, though. If you like this podcast, make sure to share it with your friends, bandmates, or others into guitar podcasts, or really podcasts in general. Really, because we don't talk about that much guitar, do we? Yeah, not so much.
Not really.
So, if you'd like to show your support for the show, the best way to do that is just recommend the podcast. Yeah, just check it out. Tell your friends. So, thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.
Bye.